This is Oscar Ernest Wackman, the name. Born in George Street, Hounsville, in 1913. So that's 78 years this year. That's a lot of way. Governor Maker, and I've been carpentering and joining for quite a number of years. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Mrs. Wakeman.
Well, I'm Nellie Wakeman. I was born at Spears Point in 1916. And I've lived in Westie since I was 5 years old. So that's 70 years.
It will go over some ground that some people have already been over. Can you tell us about what you were doing when the Depression broke out in the late 20s in West Falls End, Mr. Reynolds?
Well, on the 24th of December 1927, I was married. Married to a girl from West Falls End, Brown Street. Her name was Quintina Campbell Keane. I always called her Quinn. Now, prior to that time, I'd started work just before I was 21 in the lamp cabin at CM number 2. We worked very well for 2 years. We were no sooner married than work went slack.
Yeah, we're married.
And that was in 1927. In 1928, work was slack at CM number 2. And on March the 2nd, 1929, the depression started because the miners were asked to take a reduction. They wouldn't have it, so they were classed as going on strike. And that went on for a year and 3 months to the June of the 1930s. Between 1930 and 1936, there was practically no work at all. No dole. As far as I was concerned, I went up into Queensland. I worked on a farm, milking cows and splitting timber and fencing. And it was pretty hard. My wife and I got £1 a week up there. That's just $2 a week. And we worked 7 days a week for it.
So you left West Falls End during the Depression? You left the town?
West Falls End? Well, I was out of it for that length of time. But CM number 2, 1 year worked 3 shifts. 1 year. Another year we used to work 3 shifts one fortnight and nothing the next fortnight. I always got a shift myself looking after the electric lamps. Then in 1934, part of it shut down. Part of the mine shut down and I was cabled out in 1934. From then on, I did all sorts of jobs. I got a job in an insurance company. I took goods around and sold them to try and make some money. I went up into Queensland. I worked up there for 6 months and I got scalded and came back down here again with a poison leg, and I eventually got on the dole for about 3 terms, I think it was, 3 shifts in that time.
Mr. Wakeman, what were you doing when the Depression broke out? Were you working?
Yes, well, I was one of the fortunate ones, really, in those particular days, although in the teenage, we did go through that period of unemployment and dull days. But as I said previously, I was working, only one practically in Hounsville, at Evans's, R.M. Evans's Sons at Wall's End, receiving 18 and 6 a week in those particular days. Don't seem much, but the cost of living was well down, accordingly, and it balanced as far as your wage is concerned. So later on, as I laid off, I went carpentering. So I've been carpentering since 1932, I think it is, ever since. I went to the South Coast, Chase worked around, I've had numerous jobs all over the place. But getting round to the apprenticeship at the time, I did keep the family in the fourth and fifth year apprentice wage. I was just getting that little bit of above to stop them to get the dole, which wasn't much, and I wasn't too happy with keeping the family on apprentice wage. It was very little.
You didn't get married till after the Depression?
And we got married in 1937, wasn't it? 37. I had to come from Hounsville to West Falls End to pick onto this young lady, which I recognised as a lovely thing. She said, look as beautiful as ever, just the same.
Can I ask Mrs. Wakeman, what were you doing then? You must have been a teenager through the Depression years. How did it affect your family?
Oh, well, we only got what they called paper doll in those days. And it wasn't very much, but you had so much to spend at the grocery on this ticket. You'd take it to the store and get what you wanted and then take it off of how much. I can't remember how much it was. And you had so much for the butchers, so much for the milko, and then they would give you about twice a year what they called a dull parcel. Some of the most dreadful materials that ever you saw. And the shoes, you had to take them and wear them whether you wanted to or not. They were that heavy. And
were you living in Spears Point?
No, I came to Westie when I was five. And my father, they went up to Cullenbullen up by Lithgow. Oh, I must have only been about two because I had a brother born up there. And because they worked at the sulphide and they couldn't work there anymore. They went up to Cullen for about 2 years. And they come back to Westie.
Can you tell us what shops were open in Westie at that time? For example, was the store very
important?
Yes,
and they stuck to their customers. Mr. Hodge, I think his name was the manager, and he was very good. And he let, because most of the Westie people had shares, and they were allowed to eat those out. Very good.
So the store extended credit to local people?
Yes, of what the amount they had in the store.
I understood they also put out their own money. They had store tokens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got a dividend every year. They got it one time every 3 months, and then they got it 6 months. And the dividend, you could take goods out with it, or you could live in the store. So it became a bank, more or less. So they paid you a interest on it, and a lot of people, of course, used that up during the recession days, the depression days. My father had 3 acres of land down George Street, and of course we practically lived off the garden. You did without meat, of course, unless you caught a bit of fish, or somebody went over the bush and caught a rabbit or something else.
Can you recall any soup kitchens in
Yes, there was a soup kitchen in the primary school down in this corner opposite where Tom lives. My mother used to go down there and work on it, Nern's father. And, you know, they'd go down and you could go down and get your soup. And it was very good soup too. That was during the Depression. And at the one stage you used to be able to get a little roast of meat. That's what they called a threepenny roast. That's what it cost you to get a little roast. But now you pay about $8 something for the same size.
So just how bad was unemployment in Westmore's end during the Depression?
Terrible.
About 95%.
Why was, I mean, unemployment in Australia, you're probably aware, was about 30% during the Depression. Why was it so high in West Falls End?
They were all mine workers.
And the mines closed down.
The mines closed down.
Can you recall which mines were open just before the Depression?
Yes, CM number one, number two.
Killingsworth.
Killingsworth.
Yeah, there were four mines in the district.
Yeah. What was the other one?
West Falls End opened in 1885. Oh. Weymouth, which became CM number one, they more or less, there was an argument about the railway, where it goes at the present time was to go to Wall's End first. And it went through government those days to get a franchise, and then they cancelled it all off, said no, the hills are too big, so they come down this other way. Well, that was opened then by 88, so that both collieries could use the same line. West Walls End closed down in 1923 and CM number one closed down in 1932. CM number two, which joined the line down here, what we call the junction, just below us, before you get to the turn off down here, it came down from number two, which started singing in 1904 and started selling coal in 1907. In 1934 I got cabled out. That means to say the last one employed there was the first one to go, I think. So for those between 1929 and 1934, there's practically no work there at all.
Then so if there's such unemployment, 95% of the people in this area are unemployed, what on earth did they do with themselves?
Well, everybody had a garden those days. Plenty of fruit trees, no fruit fly.
We helped each other with our vegetables, give the neighbours enough for a feed of beans or potatoes.
Everybody shared it.
Do you have any questions about that? I mean, if we had 95% unemployment in West Wales in today, what do you think people would be doing with their spare time? Skateboarding, surfing, drinking, fighting. Yeah. Would there be street kids, drugs? What do you think? But they're suggesting that everybody was gardening. Would you garden if you didn't have anything else to do? Why not? Well, we have to understand why there was a difference. Why you wouldn't garden, but these people had to. Remember, they were about 14, 16 to early 20s during the Depression, these three people. So they would have been much the same sorts of characters as yourselves, but they were gardening. I wonder why.
You
either garden or you didn't eat. Please yourself.
It's not only gardening, though. In those days, we had to go and collect wood. And also go to the what they call the chitter heaps, where the residue from the coals was piled pretty high, and dig into those and get our coal to be able to get warm or cook our food. But we had sometimes pull a billy cart, it might be 3 miles to get this coal, and we had to work hard otherwise. You'd be wiping your eyes more time than you'd be wiping your mouth, because you wouldn't be eating too much. And even in the vegetable garden, as Tom said, we had to help also in the vegetable garden by watering, digging, and even sowing the seeds, whatever the case may be. Otherwise, we wouldn't have existed at all.
Hands up those who chop their own firewood. Not many. Would you go 3 kilometres every afternoon to get some firewood? What do you call it? I think he was just telling us he was pinching coal for his fire.
It wasn't exactly pinching coal. Chitter heap is waste. A chitter heap is residue from the coal which they're finished with. But we used to go out there and dig into this. They're allowed to do it. And even if you didn't get enough from there, you'd follow the line along to pick up what fell off the wagons.
What would you call that today?
Taxing?
Are there worse names for it? Scabs? They've got a different definition of the word scab, I think. It might be a good time to ask them.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of problems with scabs during the Depression.
No, this wasn't scabbing.
It wasn't scab. That's not scabbing.
Can you define scabbing for us?
If there's a strike on and the employer wants you to work, and you go and work against the union's rules, you are a scab.
So why was there a problem in West Wales End, in this area, during the coal miners?
No scabs amongst the coal miners.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, there was.
Yes, Tom, there was a couple.
There was one in our street.
There was a couple, yes.
What pit were they in?
Oh, I couldn't tell you the pit, but I can even name them, but I wish I...
won't
name them, but they were shunned afterwards. They lived a lonely life. They felt it in themselves. They was really an outcast.
Do you all understand this? There was a major strike on during the Depression. That's why one of the reasons why there's 95% unemployment, because the miners had gone on strike even before the Depression started. Mr. Reynolds knows a lot more about it than I do. But anybody then who turned around and worked for a lower wage was called a scab.
That's right, yes.
And obviously West Wales End doesn't have much of an issue with that, because if you were a scab, nobody ever spoke to you again.
No, it was a shame for the family. They had children.
Yes, it really...
They felt it too.
So what other efforts did people make to survive then? You've said that they scrounged coal and went a long way to get firewood and so on. What else did they do to get food?
Well, a lot of the young people that was on the dole later on, they got the dole, and the dole gave them, I think, about 5 and 8 pence, which is about a bit over 50 cents a week. That's what they got to live on. I mean, things were much cheaper. Certainly they were.
You used to
but
have
they
to...
bunched together and they went round the lakeside in tents and they fished. Went up to Hawk's Nest and they fished. And then the government got on to them and said, no, you can't get the dole. You can have it here this fortnight. You must go 20 miles to get it next time.
Was there a high crime rate during the Depression then?
What?
Was there much crime during the Depression in this area?
No.
No.
And, I don't remember any crime.
No, I don't remember any either.
Well, it wasn't so prevalent then because the population wasn't as great either in those days. And we never noticed it so much at all. There was a minor ones which wasn't necessary to mention.
Oh, they might pin vegetables down in the garden or something.
Oh, well, that happens. It happened. Going back, we set potatoes and Dad dug them up and put them in sand in his little shed and a couple of days went down, no potatoes, they'd gone. But there's only things like that. Even we had a small orchard at Holmesville. People have come to me since. We used to raid your place. Well, you didn't miss it. There's that much stuff there and we couldn't eat it all ourselves. But there was certain raids going on, but they're small crimes, really.
Mrs. Waitman, can you tell the class how you go about doing the washing during the
30s? Oh, yes. We had an open two rocks here and a bar across and a kerosene tin. And you had to boil your clothes in that. We had what we called a pot stick. And you'd have to keep pots and the clothes down in this boiling water. And then at the back of the house we had like a bench built. We had two big round galvanised tubs and a washing board. And you had to get somebody to help you with the clothes or bring one of the tubs over with some water in and get the clothes out into the tub and then carry it back over. Give it a bit of a scrub on a washing board, rinse it into another tub and then hand wring them. You didn't have any wringers or washing machines, anything like that. Then later on, my mother got a galvanised iron.
Copper.
No, it was an iron frame that the copper sat in and you could put a fire underneath that.
So how long would it take to do your washing?
Oh, a few hours. Then get it out on the line and you just had a couple of trees in the yard with wire across and two
clothes props, you call them.
Clothes props with a fork in that pushed your line up.
So would people be encouraged to change their clothes less often?
Oh yes, in those days you only had a bath once a week, not every day like you do now.
That's when the old story came out. I sat in order, must have a bath.
Yeah, funny
get,
thing.
Get your hair all done out with kerosene and olive oil for any nits or things that the kids would pick up at school. Every Friday night that was religiously done. Then your hair washed the next morning.
Kerosene and olive oil.
Yeah.
It's good material for your hair. It's really growing. It makes hair, seems to grow, the olive oil.
It's not making mine. It's falling out here and I'm religiously putting olive oil in it, but it's not falling. Yeah.
Any questions from the class?
That's been a good boy, does that?
Yes.
Was cooking as much as a child.
Brian.
Oh, I wrote the book. You didn't have electric beaters, you just had the beater.
Oh, sorry.
There's a question.
The boy asked me.
Was cooking as much as a child as like in the washing?
Oh, not quite as much, but you had to hand beat everything. And some of us didn't have a fuel stove. Excuse me, they had a fireplace about there where you put your pots and then there was a little oven sit there and you'd push, if you were going to cook in the oven, you'd push fire underneath that. If you want to make a pie or a cake, you'd beat it up and put it in there. But to cook your vegetables, you had to have saucepans and they used to get black. And then the fuel stove came in, well, it was much cleaner. dirty to clean, but didn't blacken your saucepans.
So being a housewife was a full-time dawn till dusk job?
Oh, yes. Very much. You didn't have a sink. You had a bowl you put on the table and you washed your dishes in that, drain them on a tray, then wipe them up. Then wipe all your table down and throw your water outside after washing up.
More questions?
Yeah, what happened if there was a sickness in the family? They had bought a doctor bill or something during the depression?
Well, before the depression, the men used to pay a doctor through the mine. And you just would go and get him and he would come up and see you. You weren't charged anything, it all come out of the funds from the mine. You men might be able to talk more about
that. Well, in those days they called them a family doctor, which was much beneficial to us at that time and what is the present moment. And those family doctors did run into quite a debt, not only themselves, but what people owed them, because they carried the people that couldn't pay. And they were the family doctors.
After the mine closed. Mm.
Do you have any last comments about the depression years, Mr. Reynolds? How it felt to live during the depression?
Well, I did.
During the depression?
Well,
everybody was happier.
I had a big yard at my place. I lived in Bridge Street. Just the same as father had, he had 3 acres down here, so I did a lot of work down there. Now, later on, I bought a motorbike, a sidecar. And I took on one of these products going around and tried to sell those. But it was a bit of a failure because the stuff was too, well, the material, the different thing was too dear. I mean, it was high quality stuff.
So, as a last comment, how did people in Westie cope with the depression?
Well, that's a bit of a mystery when you can't just talk about it because
you just had to.
You must remember this. You just didn't run up to the store. I'll give you an idea. My wife came home as a kid and she said, "Mum, I must have a pencil at school. Have you got a penny?" Mum said, "There's not a penny in the house." "Well, can I put on the store bill?" "No," she said, "we have to pay it later on." "Did the whistle blow today?" "No, it didn't blow. There's no work tomorrow." "If there's work tomorrow, the pit whistle blew long at a specified time. Seam number 2, 3:30. Killingworth, 3:30. I'm not too sure about old seam, but West Wall's in blue at 4:00, which her people worked at. Everybody waiting on the street to see if the whistle blew. They knew it'd work next day. Now that everybody goes there, they've got a weekly wage, more or less. And a market for the coal, and no markets those days. Sailing ships used to come in, and they would take coal, just ballast going back to where they were going. Some would go to Chile, some would go to the Philippines, they'd go to Burma, other parts. Japan, of course, wasn't open to the public much at all. They were a hermitage over there. China was nothing at all. They were fighting one another all the time. The big landlords fighting the next door labour. Next door landlord, the Chinese, when they had the share there, the big man took 80 to 90% of it, and not as bad in this country. During 1892, when there was a drought on and a depression going on at the time, butter was 2 and 6 pence a pound. That was in the Straw Minutes. I still got the Straw Minutes book. And the wages were only 5 shillings a day, so you didn't eat butter. Everybody ate dripping on their toast and bread, put a bit of pepper and salt on it. That's the type of thing that you ate.
Mrs. Waitman, do you have any last comments about the depression and how people coped?
Well, we just had to, but as I say, everything was much cheaper. And you didn't need a lot of money. We used to go to dances once a week, and it was 6 pence for the men to get in. That's 5 cents now. And the ladies used to buy a jam roll about the size they are now. That's $2.50. We used to get it for 5 cents, for sixpence. And they used to get supper and a dance. And we had a good three-piece orchestra. And picture shows was threepence. How we got the threepences, I don't know. But I know I used to do one lady's housework from 8 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'd soot and black leather stove and wash and polish rooms for 2 bob, 20 cents now.
A week?
I only went once a week, but I worked all day for that much. Well, I had to save that up. When I was going to get married, I had enough to buy me dress and hat. Not enough to have a big bridal wedding, but a nice blue dress and a white hat. And Anne's mother made the bouquet and all the rest of it. But there was very few brides in those days because they didn't have the money to buy the materials.
Can I?
Interested, of course,
the
inevitable would happen. There would be two babies born. Was there a hospital here or a house hospital,
mm-hmm.
maternity hospital?
Opposite where Mrs. Johnson lives, yes, that Nurse Torrance had a hospital there. But she would come to the house if you were pregnant, and when the time came, she would call the doctor. We had no doctor here at that stage. And she used to have to ring through to Dr. Pettinger. And the men had to wait at the post office for him to come out and take them wherever they had to go. And but in later years, she couldn't walk and there wasn't a bus to connect. So everybody had to book in up at her place. But that was over there where Mrs. Johnson lives now.
I think we have to leave the deed to show you appreciation.